بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ما بعد، apologies for the slight delay for today's lesson. Inshallah, we'll begin. We have a lot to cover today. Subhanallah, this topic cannot be given its due right with just a single lesson. But inshallah, I will try to run through some of these aspects as quick as possible, inshallah ta'ala. So inshallah, what we're going to speak about today is the amazing arrangement, the linguistic miracle of the Quran, the arrangement of the Quran, the eloquence of the Quran. I think there was one or two miracles, mu'ajizat, that we left from last lesson. But inshallah, if we get time, we'll cover them at the end of this. One was to do with science, which is a secondary aspect which we could talk about, inshallah. The second thing that we missed last week was the ease in which the Quran, I think we did the ease in which the Quran was memorized, but there's another aspect to that, which is people do not get bored of reciting the same thing. Like they said, recite Surah Fatiha how many times in a day? Tens of times in a day, but still, there's no boredom to it, subhanAllah. And this is only through the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we're going to look at today is, inshallah, is the language of the Quran. And this, according to many scholars, was the main miracle, right? This was what made the Arabs mu'ajiz, what made the Quran mu'ajiz for the Arabs is because they recognized its literary style and its perfection and its eloquence, and they couldn't match it, subhanallah. So we need to understand that every word, rather every letter, is perfect in the Quran. And it's been selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a specific purpose and meaning. Whether that meaning is known to us or not, and this is the case throughout the whole of the Quran. So regarding the form and composition and eloquence, there are two main points I want to cover today, inshallah. The first one is the amazing arrangement and extraordinary style of the Quran. What do we mean by the amazing arrangement, excuse me, regarding the sections of its verses and the divisions of its words, right? There's a miracle in the nazm of the Quran, right? In both structure of the verses and the surahs. Some scholars also refer to this as munasabah, yeah? So you have the famous book, Nazm al-Durar, في مناسبة آيات والصور. So nazm, munasaba, sometimes they're used interchangeably, synonymously. And it's referring to the same basic meaning. Why is munasaba a very important science for us to discuss and study? Is because, again, many Orientalists have objected to certain sections of the Quran. They're very critical about the order of the Quran. So what they decided to do was bring about or reignite a debate, a discussion regarding the ordering of the Quran. They call it the coherence of the Quran. Is the Quran coherent or not? According to some Orientalists, it isn't, because they fail to see, they fail to open the contents and see any kind of real structure. But this is what sets the Quran apart, because it doesn't conform to the structures of man-made books, which would have an introduction, or you have a preface, a preamble, or an abstract, and then you have an introduction, the main body, and then the conclusion. The Quran doesn't have those things. And so it forces you to look deeper. So Orientalists object to the ordering of the Quran, and they claim it must be a man-made endeavor since the order of some passages do not make sense to them. I think this is actually their argument supports the authenticity of the Quran. Reason being is if a simple person, what they usually argue is that a simple person can see that there's no connection here between these verses, right? If a simple person can see that there's no connection through these verses, and they were at liberty to form the verses how they wanted to, they would do that. This is actually proof that the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, did not tamper with it, subhanAllah. This is actual proof that if a simple man can understand that these verses really don't click together, there's no munasabah, there's no coherence here, then are we going to assume, na'udhu billah, that they were so, they were even lower than a rudimentary, basic, intermediary level, that they couldn't even understand that connection? That's actually proof that they didn't tamper with it, right? So they claim it's a man-made project. What we find in reality is that the arrangement of the Quran is proven to have profound meanings. And you find these profound meanings through tafakkur and tadabbur, deep reflection on the verses of the Quran. And what we find is that new layers are being discovered every single day. These are things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not discuss. You won't find them in the hadith. That's not to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not privy to them or was not aware of them, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not discuss them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam discussed what was absolutely necessary for the ummah to what the ummah required, and past that, subhanallah, this is, I mean, some people say it only ends at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then why would he make the supplication to Allah regarding Ibn Abbas? Oh Allah, teach him ta'wil, right? Teach him interpretation. If there was no room for some level of discourse and interpretation in the Quran after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he wouldn't have made this supplication for Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Having said that, there are limitations, as we mentioned before. There are rules, there are requirements before you can start to interpret whatever you want. However, most of what we're going to discuss here is pretty straightforward, and some of them then go into language. Again, these are concepts of the Arabic language that are established in Arabic, right? And so there isn't a requirement for us to then look for a hadith to try and establish. If it's established in Arabic, then inshallah, hopefully, we'll see through these examples how the Quran is miraculous in its arrangement. Let's have a look at this verse here. يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه فأما الذين اسودت وجوههم أكفرتم بعد إيمانكم فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون وأما الذين ابيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون. Excuse me. So the first section says, on the day tabyaddu wujuh wa taswaddu wujuh, some faces will be brightened, whitened, wa taswaddu wujuh, and some faces will be darkened. So Allah speaks about bright faces and then dark faces. Then he says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ, as for those whose faces will be darkened, أَكَفَرْتُمْ, they will be told, أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ, have you disbelieved after having believed? فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ, so taste the punishment, بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ, because of what you have been denying. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بِيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ, so Allah mentions bright faces, then dark faces, then he elaborates on the dark faces and their situation. What is the cause of it? Is their kufr, and the fact that they're going to be punished, their faces are going to be gloomy. Understatement, subhanAllah. And then Allah says, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ ابْيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. As for those whose faces will be brightened, فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, they will be in the mercy of Allah, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, therein they shall reside forever. Breakdown of the verse. Again, Allah says shining faces, then Allah says dark faces, then Allah elaborates on the dark faces, then Allah elaborates on the shining faces. Now, some of you who are listening to this are probably thinking, this is a bit awkward. Usually when you're listing things, you will list A, B, and then when you're elaborating, you will elaborate A, B, right? So you list A, B, and then when elaborating, you elaborate A, and then you elaborate B. This is known as, in Arabic, لف ونشر مرتب, right? لف ونشر مرتب, which goes in a systematic order and elaborates in a systematic order. The verse, though, it does something different, subhanAllah. It lists the bright faces, then the dark faces, and then when elaborating, the Quran begins by elaborating the dark faces and then the bright faces. So it goes against the norm that we would usually be used to. Now, first of all, this system where you mention A and B and then you elaborate as B and A, this is also used in Arabic language, and it's called لفو النشر غير مرتب. However, it's not without cause and wisdom. It's easy for us to just argue and say, well, this is a rule in Arabic and let's leave it at that, full stop. You know, some of us would be, okay, you know, subhanAllah, is there anything else? If we're saying the Quran is miraculous, then why do that, right? This is the wisdom, subhanAllah. It shows the encompassing nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, right? The discussion begins with His mercy and then ends with His mercy. Even the arrangement of the sentences too are encompassed by His mercy, right? So not only is Allah's mercy encompassing all of creation, as in, sorry, human beings and non-Muslims and everything, everyone we know, it's also encompassing these verses, right? So His mercy literally encompasses all things, Azza wa Jal. Have a look at this again. يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ, and then that carries on, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بْيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ. Have a look at that, subhanAllah. Right, I've highlighted تَبْيَضُّ, إِبْيَضَّتْ in both scenarios, and what you find is this whole passage is being literally encompassed by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, so that was an example of the arrangement of the Quran. Subhanallah, there are so many examples like this one. This is just a taster, just to show you how, subhanallah, the verses of the Quran, they have. Now, understand this. I was going to just say that the verse of the Quran have deeper meanings. Do not misinterpret that to mean that the verses of the Quran are not, cannot be taken literally. That's not what this means. We're not like, you know, the sect. You have a sect of the Batiniyya who would deny any kind of literal sense of the Quran. This is not what we're saying, subhanAllah. The Quran is straightforward. The ahkam are straightforward. The stories are straightforward. Everything is there. However, there are passages in the Quran, sections in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has embedded multiple layers of meanings. And when we study these things, we realize these things. Excuse me. So let's have a look at the eloquence of the Quran. The Quran uses many instruments of rhetoric to demonstrate its eloquence. We're just going to look at one example today, which is a palindrome. It's probably one of the more simpler concepts. Hence, I opted to use this one. It's very straightforward to understand. What is a palindrome? A palindrome, first of all, in terms of balagha, Arabic, it's known as قلب or إقلاب. This is where a word is correctly read from the same from the beginning to the end and from the end to the beginning, right? So have a look at some of these examples. Dad, D-A-D. If you start from the end, D-A-D. Mum, whichever way you look at it, the same way. That's in single words. Here's multiple words too. Race car. So if you read it from, if you switch it around, from the other way, again, it will say race car. These are palindromes. Let's have a look at the example in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Muddathir, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Now have a look at this. Breaking down this passage of the Quran, we see a clear example of a palindrome. Ra, ba, kaf, then fa in the middle, and then kaf, ba, ra. Whichever way you read it, it will be the same. Now, some of you are going to listen to this and think, oh, wow, subhanAllah, that's cool. That's a neat trick. You know, and but where's, that's not really profound, that's not really deep. So where is the miracle? It's a fancy trick you can do. I mean, the way certain poets and scholars have been writing poetry has been similar to that, right? You have, for example, certain poems where every single line ends with a meme, right? And then they'll call the poem Qasida Mimiya, for example, right? Or you get one of those cross poems, for example, in English, where they have a word, a key word going all the way down, and then each word starts off with a sentence. You look at it and you think, wow, neat trick. What's so profound about that? We need to understand the implications of Rabbaka Fakabdir. The first thing we need to understand is that the Quran was oral, right? It wasn't sent down as a book written down. It was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who spoke it. And everyone's unanimous on this. Even the Orientalists, subhanAllah, in their attempt to try and deny any notion of the Quran being written in the early centuries, early days, they have no choice but to concede that the Quran was revealed orally. Because when they're trying to make a point against people who say the Quran is, Muslims who say the Quran is established and preserved in written form too, from the earliest days, they will say, no, 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 it was just orally. So no one differs on that matter. The revelation of the Quran was oral. Next point. Now consider that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unlettered, right? We don't say illiterate. Some people, so many scholars frown upon that word, that it's inappropriate. So instead of saying illiterate, we will say unlettered. He couldn't read or write. He hears the words and he narrates them to the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. It was only after years, after scholars came and pondered over the Quran, that a specific scholar realized this miracle. Now, this is the question. How can a man who is unlettered, who did not see the script of the Quran, and when he spoke it to the companions and they wrote it down, even if he saw it then, he couldn't read, he couldn't write. How was he able to make a composition like this so perfectly? How could he make up words like this with such brilliance? What we find then, and this is where the miracle is, that this Quran is not a man-made endeavor. Right? If the Orientalists claim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'udhu billah, he's the author of the Quran, right? If he's the author of the Quran, how could he do these things, right? How could he do these things when he can't even read or write? Now, sticking to the example of qalb and palindrome, If that example wasn't enough for you, let me give you another example, subhanAllah, which, and this example has another layer of deeper meaning and another layer of eloquence. Have a look at this example. Kullun fi falakin. Kullun fi falakin. Right? Again, we break this down. You have the kaf, the lam, the fa. You have the ya in the middle, and then it goes fa, lam, kaf. Read it either way. It will be the same. So to understand the complexity of this eloquence, we need to look at the meaning of this verse too. Rabbaka fakabbir, the meaning was proclaim the greatness of your Lord. This kullun fi falakin, what does it mean? When we analyze the meaning, we realize that subhanAllah, the miracle even penetrates not only the words but the meaning too. So the meaning of the verse is regarding the sun and the moon. Okay, the sun and the moon and how they cannot overtake one another. This is in Surah Yasin, verse 40. Each of them float in an orbit, right? The sun floats in an orbit, the moon floats in an orbit. I mean, what we mean is we can clearly see the movement of the sun and the moon throughout the day, right? We're not talking necessarily, in terms of how the positioning and things are in space. We know the moon orbits around the Earth, and the planets orbit around the sun. But what we're talking about is the movement of the sun and the moon in the sky. Each of them are in an orbit, going around, right, in a cycle. They can't overtake each other. Each of them float in an orbit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this to show, again, at a basic level, this verse is profound too. So Allah is basically telling us, look at the sun, look at the moon and the movements. And you think this came out randomly, subhanAllah? You think this came out without any cause? This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the creator. Allah does these things. And that's profound within itself. Excuse me. So we understand that the meaning is regarding orbiting. The expression itself, subhanAllah, the literal expression is in a literal orbit around the middle letter. Right? So have a look at this. Kullun fi falakin. They are each in an orbit, or all of them are in an orbit. Kaf lam fa, ya in the middle, and then fa lam kaf. You see the orbiting of the kaf? You see the orbiting of the lam, and you see the orbiting of the fa. Everything orbiting around the middle letter, right? So again, to reiterate, palindrome in itself is, as some people say, a neat trick, mashallah. But subhanAllah, to have that even encompass the meaning of the words, and then that to come from an unlettered person, there can be no doubt that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought was not from himself, but it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, have a look at this. The kaf and the kaf, there's an orbit. The lam with the lam, there's an orbit. The fa, there's an orbit all around the ya, letter ya. Now, there are more and more aspects of the miraculous nature in the Quran. And we find out, we uncover these things over time, and we realize how rich the Quran is with more and more layers. Sometimes we think we've reached the core and we think, wow, subhanAllah, that's it. Yet, it's just revealed to be yet another layer. Someone else will analyze, someone else will study, and subhanAllah, and ponder, and they will bring forward a tentative proposition to say maybe this also is a meaning. So although we have understood what we need and require for guidance in this life, ultimately, to know the full encompassing wisdom contained in the Quran, no one but Allah knows these things. One of the aspects, another aspect of the eloquence is the use of vocabulary, right? Every word is specific. It's not superficial and it's not random. Every single word has a purpose. Every letter in every word in every surah is where it should be. Some argue that even every variation in qira'ah, reading too, is perfect and has its own divine wisdoms to its usage and placement. Some people find it difficult to take balagha seriously because they say, well, if we take a different reading, then it's kind of taken away the meaning that you're proposing. Not necessarily, not really. What that only does is opens up a new opportunity for more tafakkur and tadabbur, and it opens up another level of complexity and miraculous nature of the Quran. Right. So we're talking at the moment about vocabulary and context. How can you tell whether a certain word is perfect in its place? It's usually the context that will inform you of that. Once you have a look at the context, therefore you can say, oh, subhanAllah, that word is actually perfect. Even if you look at translation of the Quran, this is why translations of the Quran differ. Not because they differ on what the Quran is saying, but they look at the context and they think, ah, you know what, this translation would fit this context better, right? And so coming back to this point, the words that Allah uses in the Quran are not random and they are very specific. Have a look at this example here. Excuse me. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار والفلك التي تجري في البحر بما ينفع الناس. Right? Surely in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and day, والفلك التي تجري في البحر, and the ships that flow in the sea or sail in the sea, بما ينفع الناس, carrying those things that benefit people. The verse carries on, but we just want to analyze one section at the moment, and that is what's highlighted there. Al Bahar. Bahar, what does Bahar mean? Anyone? Any ideas from anyone what Bahar means? Just to get an understanding of what level of Arabic some of our some of our audience are on sea. Brilliant. Yeah, it means sea. Bahar means sea. Correct. Excuse me. Yes. Sea. Everyone. Sea. Brilliant. You're right. Have I missed the. Oh, subhanAllah. It seems as though I'm going to. Give me a moment while I just stop sharing the screen and start it again. This happened last week, subhanAllah. And then we had an issue. Has that fixed it? No, it hasn't. Stop share. Give me one moment, please. Apologies. Bismillah. Let's close that. Okay, let's have a look if we can do this again. Bismillah. Share screen. Okay, I'm going to need to start this again. Let's run through these things quickly. I think we should do what we were doing before, where we have the questions on a different device. If I keep looking at it on here, subhanAllah, it's just. It's a bit buggy. Okay, so coming back to, right, these are the examples that we've already discussed. We're looking at vocabulary and context. That should be coming up soon. Here we go. Bahar, right. So the Arabic language is very rich, with every word having multiple synonyms. My question to you, and don't send the message on the chat. You know, let's just ask you a rhetorical question. Can we swap words? If a word in Arabic has multiple synonyms, as is the case in any language, can we swap the words? Could I go from England, where I say pavement, and then I go to America and I say sidewalk? Can I do that? By moving places, no problem. Can I swap certain words in the Quran? They have, I mean, usually some words are very, the difference is subtle, right? But there definitely is a difference. But generally, what they're speaking about is the same thing, because what you'll notice is a verse in the Quran will tell the same story about the same incident in the same scene, yet in different situations, it might use different words, right? So the can we swap words? Let's analyze the above example, right? The word bahr means sea. So surely, can we change? Surely we should be able to change, right? Na'udhu billah. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. This is not what I'm suggesting. Just as an example, Allah forgive me. Can we exchange the word bahr in verse 164 of Baqarah for yam? The word yam. Yam is a synonym for bahr. Would there really be any difference? To understand whether there will be a difference or not, we have to analyze each word. What is the difference between the two? Bahar is a pure Arabic word, whereas yam finds its roots in Hebrew. So yam also is an Arabic word, but it finds its roots in Hebrew. And this is the case in many languages. You know, take for example, you know, even in English, things that are found in coffee. Coffee is from Arabic, qahwa, right? Is coffee an English word? Of course, it's an English word. It's become an English word. But it finds its roots in Arabic. So yam is an Arabic word, but it finds its roots in Hebrew. Now, this is very, very important. The key word here being Hebrew. Now let's look at the verses where yam, every place where yam is mentioned in the Quran. The first in Suratul A'raf, فَأَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ, regarding the people of Fir'aun who were drowned, فِي الْيَمِّ, in the sea. Number two, Surah Taha, verse number 39, فَقَذِفِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. This is the story of Samiri, who made a golden calf, and Allah instructed Musa alayhis salam to destroy the calf and scatter its ashes into the sea. Number three, Surah Taha, فَغَشِيَهُم مِّنَ الْيَمِّ مَا غَشِيَهُم. Again, the punishment of the people of Fir'aun, they were covered by the sea. Number four, لَنُحْرِقَنَّهُ ثُمَّ لَنَنْسِفَنَّهُ فِي الْيَمِّ نَسْفًا. Again, the story of Samiri and the ashes of the calf being thrown into the sea. Number five, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. This is Musa alayhi salam's mother being instructed by Allah to put Musa alayhi salam in the sea, in the water. فَنَبَذْنَاهُ فِي الْيَمِّ. فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ. This is the story of Fir'aun again and his people who were destroyed in the sea. And then number seven, فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ. They were, Allah says, we cast them into the sea. What do we find here? They all mean sea, but bear in mind, they're not even the same story. You have Fir'aun drowning, Musa as a baby in the cradle, ashes of the golden calf. However, subhanAllah, the common denominator in all these places is that they are all regarding Banu Israel, who are the Hebrews. So the word that Allah has used for sea in all these contexts is the Hebrew word for sea, right? The Hebrew word for sea, being yam in the Quran, is not used except in the stories of Bani Israel. So this is the miracle in the preciseness of the Quran in the words that it uses. Another level of precision, if you look at the usage of yam, is that in all of the contexts where yam is used, it is only used in the stories of Banu Israel, sorry, but it's also only used in the verses of drowning And the verses of yam is only used in the verses of drowning, only used in the verses of punishment and also fear, right? So drowning and punishment is when we're talking about the people of Fir'aun and Samiri and the calf. And when we say fear, Musa's mother, she was fearful. The verse actually says, when you fear, then put him in the basket and then into the sea, right? So yam is only used negatively in verses of drowning, punishment, and fear, whereas bahr is used generally for verses of drowning and verses of salvation. This is not to say bahr is not used in context of Musa alayhi salam. That's not true, because bahr is used in context of Musa alayhi salam and the Hebrews. However, yam is not used in any context but that of Banu Israel. Right, so that should bring us to the end of the examples of the literary or the miraculous, literal, miraculous nature, linguistic, miraculous nature of the Quran. Before we finish today, I just want to end on a couple of notes regarding the miracles of the prophets, which ties into what we've been discussing all this time, why the Quran was a linguistic miracle, is because the messengers, alayhi salatu wasalam, were given miracles in accordance with their time and people. So, for example, in Musa alayhi salam's time, magic was the greatest science of the people, sorcery. So Musa alayhi salam received a miracle like their own, similar to their own, right? They claimed power and might over sorcery. But subhanAllah, the example of the miracle that Allah gave Musa alayhi salam dwarfed their abilities and broke their normal patterns, rendering their magic and their sorcery powerless. Right? The magicians had no choice but to submit and concede and say, subhanAllah, this is nothing like we've ever seen. We don't know how to do what this what Musa alayhi salam is doing. In Isa alayhi salam's time, it was the science of medicine. So he received a sign beyond the normal bounds of medicine. So you can cure someone, right? But can you bring the dead back to life? Right? Can you bring the dead back to life? All of it, subhanAllah, with the permission of Allah. Can you cure the blind, the person who's blind, born blind? And the leper without medicine, right? Some people might argue here, yeah, we can, but Isa alayhi salam literally had to put his hand on them or make a supplication for them. Can you do these things? SubhanAllah, he completely outshone anything that they could produce. So, and this was the case with all of the prophets. All of the prophets were given signs which, in some way or another, directly challenged. A miracle coming was a form of tahaddi itself. It was a challenge to say, you think this message is from someone else? Do you think this prophet is not from me? Then try and produce something like this if you can. And everyone was rendered powerless. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, too, was given a miracle. And this miracle was the Quran. Now, four things were held in high esteem by the Arabs, right? Rhetoric, poetry, traditions of their forebears, and divination. The greatest miracle of the Quran, sorry, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went beyond the limits of all these four categories. The Quran, subhanAllah, is a never-ending miracle. So the miracles of previous messengers, they ceased when they passed away. However, the greatest miracle of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will never cease. The signs of the Quran are constantly refreshed and being proven true every single day. The Quran pierces even the hardest of hearts. When Allah wills it, it humbles the haughty and reduces them to tears. It offers comfort for the grieved and heartbroken. Some of these descriptions you can find the discussion regarding the i'jaz of the Quran in in Ashifa's Qadi Iyad's Ashifa, right? It offers comfort for the grieved and heartbroken. And Allah asks, all Allah asks, this is the requirement. All Allah asks is we ponder over its verses with an open and clear heart. There's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min al-anbiya'i nabiyyun illa u'tiya ma mithluhu amana alayhi al-bashar. Wa innama kana alladhi utituhu wahyan awha Allahu ilayya, fa arju an akuna aktharuhum tabi'an yawm al-qiyamah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every prophet was given a sign of a kind that other people believe. وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ الَّذِي أُوتِيتُهُ However, what I have been given, وَحْيًا أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيَّ is the revelation that Allah has revealed to me. فَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ تَبَعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ I hope to be the one with the most followers on the day of rising. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وأطراف النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا إن شاء الله I think we're going to finish conclude with next week's lesson we'll briefly introduce the topic of sciences of tafsir and in particular we will talk about Israiliyat Judeo-Christian anecdotes that you will find in the books of tafsir primarily in the books of tafsir so inshallah we'll discuss that and hopefully bring the course to an end I hope inshallah Allah benefits us through it All of us, inshallah, and gives us the ability to take what we've learned forward and benefit the whole of the ummah, inshallah. If anyone has any last questions, you can go ahead and ask, inshallah. Right, so I think we should be done. I don't think there's any questions. So, inshallah, Muhammad Salman, we'll end there, inshallah. جزاكم الله خيرا everyone السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته